This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate lightweight, super packable travel shoes from Allbirds. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
Equity Minds!
I will say this about investing. Everything you do learn is cumulative. What I learned at 20 is useful.
Welcome to another episode of Equity Mates, a podcast that follows our journey of investing. Whether you're an absolute beginner or approaching Warren Buffett status, our aim is to help break down your barriers from beginning to dividend. My name is Bryce, and as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you going?
I'm very good, Bryce. God, there's a lot going on at the moment.
There is so much going on.
Facebook's first ever revenue drop.
Love it.
Spotify killing it.
Yeah, love that too.
F45 down 70%.
Equity Mates kiss of death.
It wasn't in a day.
Yeah.
In a day.
Yeah. It's down 95% since.
We'll get to that. Let's just go. Rio, weak results.
Yeah.
Fed raised rates, 75 basis points again.
Yeah.
Sezzles in a trading halt.
Yeah.
Zip.
Are you
going to
just go
price?
Through everything or you're just taking the whole segment?
It's like there's so much going on.
Yeah, there is a lot going on. And we're going to go through it all today. It's a big show. We're going to start with a market wrap and go around the grounds. There's plenty happening overseas in reporting season. We've had the IMF also give an update on growth. Then we're going to have a look at some of the unknown companies that caught our eye this earnings season. And then the second half of the episode, we're going to be joined by one of our favorite experts, and that is Nick Griffin from Munro Partners, to get his thoughts on where we're at, both on the stock market and I guess some broader economic news as well.
Who went to 40% cash in January.
Yeah, well played.
Yeah.
Well played. Managers,
wish I'd gone to 40% cash
in
January.
Yeah, 1.4 bill, 40% cash in Jan. Absolutely called it, and looking forward to chatting to him. As a reminder though, before we start, we are not experts, we are not finance professionals, and we are not licensed. So we're here learning just like you, and nothing on this podcast should be taken as advice.
Do not take financial advice from a podcast.
That's it. So Ren, let's kick off market wrap around the grounds. There's plenty going on.
It's earnings season, baby.
Yes.
Well, let's start with the IMF because you got that as the first dot point, and I actually have no idea what you're going to say here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm bottom up. I'm only company analysis.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, the IMF has lowered their growth forecast for global GDP over the next year or so. That's it.
We started this episode with such high energy. All right.
That's it, around the grounds.
Let's talk about earnings season.
Yeah, let's talk about earnings season.
So much has happened.
You start.
All right, so let's start with Alphabet, the bellwether in the digital ads market that was apparently weak because of Snap's results. What weakness in the digital ads market?
Meta.
Google search revenue up 13%. YouTube revenue not as strong. I think it was up about 5%. The stock jump 8%.
Yeah, I think it might be one of the only ones in the ad market that have actually
it done
is well.
The ad market.
Meta, which we'll get
we'll
to.
We'll get to.
So Microsoft, they missed revenue and earnings but had, quote, shockingly strong outlook, plus 7%.
Up 7%.
The stock price was up as well, I think.
Shopify, remember, this company is down 70%, so keep that in mind. Users up 19% to 433 million. Paid users up 14% to 188 million. Share price up 12% as a result.
Love it.
What the?
Yeah.
Why is it down 70%?
Well, everything's down, Ren,
it's
obviously. UBS, they joined the long list of banks to miss expectations. Earnings of $2.1 billion versus the expected $2.4 billion.
Visa. Now, this is a company that knows what's going on with consumer spending. Their profit is up 32%. Not bad, but most interesting quote from their CEO, Al Kelly. Based on our numbers, we haven't seen any evidence of consumers pulling back spending in our markets.
Yeah.
There was actually, I listened to the Spotify earnings call and Daniel Ek had similar commentary as well. They haven't seen any consumer weakness. That it might be a yet conversation, and some of the other companies we'll talk about will give us a view of what's going on with consumers. But it's interesting.
Well, the big push for Visa there was everyone returning in a big way back to travel.
Back to travel, yeah.
So Rio here in Australia, underlying profit down 29%, dividend down 52%, and 53% of revenue is coming from China. Key man.
Single customer risk. Rio also in the UK, we should be clear.
Yeah.
53% of revenue comes from China. China goes through a lockdown. That hurts commodity prices, also hurts their key customer.
No surprises there.
They came out and backed it though. They said, we think that China is going to be an advantage for us over time. Classic. So we'll wait and see there. F45, we flagged this at the top, down 70% in a day after a shocking earnings result. Revenue of 120 million, they forecast 255 million. New gym openings, 350, they forecast 1,500. You can see why the stock plunged 70%. I mean, new gym openings plunged 70%.
Down, listed at $16 and it's now at 79 cents. Mark Wahlberg is a shareholder.
Still is.
Smaller. he's sold down a fair chunk of his between January and March, I think.
He sold,
saw the writing on the wall.
He sold it in like the $11 range, $9 range.
Yeah.
And, you
and now it's at 79 cents.
CEO Adam Gilchrist, not the cricketer, is also
he's
out.
He's on his way out.
Yeah.
Coke, revenue is up 12%. Inflation helped. They're up 5%.
What consumer weakness?
Yeah. Forecast 8% growth. So again, some strong consumer demand.
Speaking of strong consumer demand, McDonald's. Now, Bryce, listen to these numbers. We are from a retail background. We love same-store sales. Same-store sales for Macca's in the US, up 3.7%. Not bad.
Decent.
But below inflation, but not bad. Outside the US, 13%.
That's good.
13% for McDonald's.
Yeah. Wow. And they moved out of Russia as well, which was a pretty significant
Well, that wouldn't be calculated in the same store sales.
Yeah. Okay. So Adidas, China has absolutely destroyed this company. Had a significant impact. Adidas have cut revenue guidance by 12% and they've also cut earnings guidance by 30%, blaming lockdowns in China and a growing inventory.
Yep.
So, not great for Adidas.
So, Bryce, two to go. Meta, Facebook, revenue of $28.8 billion, down from $28.9 billion this time last year. First ever revenue drop in their history.
Yeah, pretty significant. I think of all of them, this is the one that caught my eye. They are still adding users though, Ren.
Yeah, up to 1.97 billion.
Jeez.
It's like a quarter of the world.
Yeah, it's nuts. And then to close out, Shopify, no earnings.
Yet. By the time people listen to this, they will have come out.
But they have announced that they're cutting 10% of their workforce. And a reminder that a source of revenue matters for a company like Shopify.
I think Shopify is a classic example of a great product, a great company with an unstable customer base. Because when you're relying on, unprofitable e-commerce companies as your key customers, there's risk when we go enter an e-commerce winter like we have this year. Mm. And so it doesn't say anything about Shopify's core product, but weakness in the e-commerce market flows through to them, and that's what we're seeing at the moment.
Mm. So, interesting times. The S&P has rallied about 10%. I think the NASDAQ has rallied about 13% since its bottoms.
So, are we out?
Bottoms in mid-June. Are we out? I'm not going to make a call on that at all, but it certainly feels like that we're going through reporting season, so
it certainly feels like we are going through reporting season.
Certainly feels like. Well, look, there's mixed messages coming through, so it'll all shake out in the next few weeks.
I just think it's really important that we call out the concept of a bear market rally. In all of these big stock market declines in history, there are bear market rallies, sometimes known as a dead cat bounce, where the market goes up a little bit and then continues its decline. And generally those bear market rallies sit around the 10% number. We're about 10% up from the lows.
Yeah.
So I think it's just important that some of these results are really pleasing. Some of the guidance for future quarters is also looks really good. Quote Microsoft, shockingly strong guidance. But it's just a watch out that we've seen bear market rallies.
I think it was
before.
An analyst who said shockingly
strong.
It was,
strong. Yeah. It was an analyst. Oh, yeah, it's not Microsoft to say FYI.
Shockingly strong.
But no, it was like it was a Wall Street analyst.
Yeah. And yeah, stay tuned in because we'll have Nick later this episode who I think is on that vibe of there's still some pain to come.
Yeah. But maybe we're all wrong.
Maybe,
It's only good times.
We've missed the bottom.
It's... Yeah, anyway, one other thing that caught my eye, Bryce, every asset class seems to be down. Even Australian property was down 0.02%. But Jordan's, the sneakers, down 30%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Based on like what?
I think
StockX or
StockX,
whatever.
Yeah. I just heard it on a podcast. Everything's down.
Nice.
Might be time get for myself you to a pair of Jordans. The market.
Nice. Well, there you go. Plenty happening. Next week, we'll have another market wrap from around the grounds as earnings season continues.
All right, Bryce. We covered a lot of the big names, the McDonald's, the Visas, the Microsoft, the Alphabet. But there's so many companies reporting at the moment, and we wanted to take a moment to talk about a few of the unknown companies that caught our eye, a few that I certainly didn't know about. I don't know if you've heard of any of these companies.
No.
And I'm pretty confident many in the Equity Mates community won't have either. We've chosen three for different reasons, not all of them good. First one, Vertical Aerospace. You heard of this one before?
I haven't, but I love it.
Up 177% in the past 2 weeks. That caught our eye.
Absolutely.
It was a SPAC merger, so we start there.
Yep.
Red flag immediately. It is a vertical takeoff electric zero carbon aircraft. What do you think?
I love it.
Okay.
I think... it's one of those companies that if it figures out this technology, who knows where it can go.
Well, on the dive last week, we did an episode on Saudi Arabia's new city that they're trying to build, NEOM.
Yes.
Side note, I've been pumped with Twitter ads about it since.
Oh, there you go.
Which is weird that they're advertising it while they're building it. But they want to have flying taxis, so maybe we need to connect.
This is the wheelhouse.
Yeah. But let's talk about... the aircraft as they've explained it. So the VX4 will transport a pilot and up to four passengers traveling over 100 miles, achieving speeds of over 200 miles per hour, minimal noise, zero emissions. And if people aren't in front of their – if people can't Google it at the moment, think of it as like a plane with helicopter
– propellers.
Propellers. Rotors?
Yeah, rotors. Yeah. Normal rotor plane that then just go vertical when it needs to go up and down and flicks horizontal when it needs to go forward.
Easy.
Yeah. You can picture it. It's just what you see in all those movies where you see these type of planes.
Yeah. Sci-fi movies.
Sci-fi movies, yeah.
That don't exist.
The technology is definitely possible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like the US military can do like vertical takeoff and landing. Yeah. So the company's still down 25% in the last year, as with so many of these SPACs, hasn't been good. But up 177%. So I was like, well, why is that? 15th of July was a really good day for them. They had two big announcements. I want to tell you the announcements and then I want to ask you the over-under, all right?
Okay.
So 15th of July, American Airlines did their first payment for the first – they did like the first part of a payment for the first 50 of these aircraft. They've ordered 250. So the market liked the fact that someone was actually paying them for these things.
Yes.
On the same day, Europe's leading business jet operator, Flying Group, also conditionally pre-ordered up to 50. Quote, conditionally pre-ordered up to. So American Airlines put the first – payment for the first 50, another 50 orders came through. That brought the order book up to 1,400 aircraft reportedly, with with a value of, if all those orders go through, of $5.6 billion.
Yeah.
So a flying plane that doesn't exist yet, 1,400 have been ordered. Over, under, will 100 get delivered and paid for?
Yes.
Okay. Follow-up question, will we get a chance to have a ride in one?
Maybe I don't know if we'll get a chance to ride in this particular VX4.
Okay, but I have maybe the VX5.
But I have no doubt in our lifetime we will experience something similar.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, that was the first one that caught my eye.
Love it.
Anyway, let's keep it rolling.
Zero, or not a lot of revenue to date for those guys. They don't. So
yeah, of course not. These things are still. They don't not a lot to of sell revenue. Yet.
Up 177%. Wow. There you go. A lot of expectation.
Oh, so much.
A
expectation.
Lot of expectation. All right. The next one, Coupang. Up almost 100% in the past 2 months, Ren. The New York Stock Exchange ticker for Coupang, which are a South Korean e-commerce giant, is CPNG. Also would caveat that Vertical Aerospace is also listed on the New York Stock Exchange, EVTL, if you're interested. But Coupang is a little bit more established than Vertical Aerospace, $30 billion market cap. And they are the Amazon of South Korea. We have spoken about these guys very briefly on the show before.
Yeah.
So, Ren, before we get to results, what the interesting thing here is that they seem to be one of the world's leaders in emulation.
Yes, you could say that.
Emulation. So
when you say they are the Amazon of South Korea, they are the Amazon of South Korea.
Yes, literally. So let's just quickly take a look at what we mean by that. They're an online retailer, the largest online marketplace in South Korea, Amazon vibes. They have Rocket Delivery, which is same day and next day delivery for items ordered before midnight, delivered overnight. Similar to Prime vibes. Then they have Rocket Wow, which is a membership, very similar to Amazon Prime. They have Coupang Eats, similar to Uber Eats. They've got Coupang Flex, similar to Amazon Flex. Coupang Play, the Netflix of South Korea.
And which also comes free with your Rocket Wow membership, which okay, might ring an Amazon Prime yes. bell.
Rocket Fresh, which is a fresh fruit food delivery service, similar to plenty of options both domestically here and over in the States.
Yeah.
HelloFresh comes to mind here.
I was actually thinking more like Gorillas or Milk Run.
Yeah.
But I actually don't know the business model there.
And then Rocket Direct, they purchase foreign goods.
No, it allows you to purchase foreign goods.
Similar to the Alibaba vibes that you can get wholesale prices on large items. So, look, great emulation strategy. If it works, fair play.
Well, I mean, they got a $30 billion market.
Yeah.
In a sea of terrible e-commerce results, we need to celebrate those that are doing a little less poorly.
Well, 2002 until the 11th of May, they were down 66%. But since the 11th of May, they are up 80%. So a bit of a rebound. Let's take a look at what has happened from that point in time.
Yeah, well, why was the 11th of May the inflection point? Down 66% year to date and then up 80% from there.
The answer is Q1 results.
What happened?
Expectations. Customers, 18.1 million, which was up 13%. Revenue of 5.1 billion, which was up 22%. Gross profit of just over a billion, up 42%, yet they're still making a loss of $209 million. But they do have $3.4 billion in cash on their balance sheet. So they can absolutely sustain these losses for a while.
Yeah, I actually think there's a nuance there. I think a lot of that cash is going out in accounts payable.
Yeah,
you know how like the best retailers in the world sell their goods before they have to pay their suppliers? Yeah. You at Woolies were famous for it.
Yeah.
I think these guys have a similar, they'll sell the goods and then pay their suppliers retail model.
So if you, you net that out.
They got like, I think they've got 3.4 billion cash on their balance sheet and you're like, ooh. Yeah. Wow.
Then 3.7.
But then I think it's 3.3 billion in accounts payable.
Okay.
So well, yeah.
Then they have no cash.
Oh no. One thing to note, so you said customers 18.1 million. I just Googled the population of South Korea, about 50 million.
Nice. Wow, it's pretty significant.
So I think Coupang have started opening up some other markets, but not a heap. Just as a percentage of population serviced, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, very impressive. Yeah. Very impressive. Nice. So we've had a vertical aerospace company, literally called Vertical Aerospace. We've had an e-commerce giant also listed on the stock exchange.
Before you introduce the third, I just want to make the point that investing in America gives us opportunities to access all these companies not in America. Yeah. Like Coupang is a classic example of that. But, you know, like C Limited.
Well, Vertical's also British.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
But C Limited is Southeast Asian. Is GoTo, the Indonesian one, it's listed in Indonesia. It might be secondary listing in the US. I don't think it is yet.
Not yet, yeah.
But there are others. What's the other big Southeast Asian one? C and Grab.
Yeah, Grab Holdings. It's listed.
Yeah. And so they're all like C and Grab listed in the US, Coupang listed in the US, but some of the bigger players in Southeast Asia or in Asia. So it's just an interesting reminder that the market that you're listed in isn't necessarily where your company is located.
Yeah.
Well, mainly just for American company.
Yeah.
American listed company. Anyway, let's get on to the third company that caught our eye. This one, we talk a lot about the American entrepreneurs, the Bezos and the Musk. I want to introduce this company, Bryce, and then I want to ask you about this entrepreneur because he tried to bribe a world leader. I'll get to that. All right, so the company is called Cigna Sports United. It was down 50% to start the year, but it's up 20% in the last 2 weeks. German company, again, this theme of companies all over the world listing in the US. It's listed in New York. The ticker is SSU. Another SPAC merger. Now, the business model here is interesting. It's a regional sports e-commerce website roll-up. So basically, they take a tiny little e-commerce websites and roll them up, and they've rolled them up into a $2 billion company.
Well played.
Now, Bryce, I'm going to give you a list of e-commerce websites and you tell me if you've heard of any of them.
Okay.
Bikester.
No.
Tennis Point.
No.
Camps with a Z.
No.
Outfitter.
No.
Pro Bike Shop.
No.
Wiggle.
Yes.
Oh, you actually have?
Yeah.
Oh, have you used it?
Yes.
Tennis Pro.
No.
Chain Reaction Cycles.
They love bikes and tennis. No.
Yeah. And Tennis Express.
No.
Ballside.
No.
Ad Nature.
No.
Well, Bryce, those websites and a few others roll up into a $2 billion company with 2,500 employees.
I like the roll up.
Roll ups have historically struggled.
Okay.
The return on invested capital gets less as they get bigger and bigger. But then there are some conglomerates that buck that trend. But all together, they've got 100 different web shops, as they call them, in over 20 countries, 7 million customers and 500 million online visitors annually, including you, apparently.
Yes. Yeah.
Wiggle.
Wiggle.
What's so good about it?
UK, I think. Pretty good range, decent prices.
I mean, what more can you ask for in e-commerce?
The Bunnings of online bike stores.
Really? That's a big call.
Anyway, moving on. Let's keep going.
The reason that I wanted to raise this, though, is the entrepreneur, René Benko. Heard of him?
No.
So he's Austrian, started a small real estate business in the late 1990s, now worth over $5 billion.
Love that.
Real estate, then he got into this e-commerce. He's also got into bricks and mortar retail and owns a whole bunch of shopping centers. This roll up spun it into a separate company through a SPAC merger, which is now listed. I don't know how much of it he still owns. He's got like the ex general manager of eBay Germany running it. But, and I was looking at this guy, René Benko. In 2012, he tried to bribe the Croatian prime minister.
Ren, look, a bit of a spicy opinion. Well, I don't know if it's spicy or not, but I'm of the belief that to be worth over $1 billion, there's no way that you haven't tried to push the boundaries.
Wow. Okay.
No way.
We've spoken to billionaires on this show before.
Have we?
Yeah. Hamish Douglas.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm not putting it in anyone's mouth. I just reckon that he's not the only billionaire to try and bribe a PM.
I think there is a quote. I think it's in the Godfather book. Behind every great fortune, there's a great crime.
There you go. Yeah.
So
nailed it.
There you go. Really? You reckon every billionaire? Should we go?
I don't, no, no, no.
Should we do an episode where we go through every billionaire and you name their crime?
I'm not saying it's a crime. I'm not saying that there's a crime.
No, no. Trying to bribe a prime minister is a crime.
I know that. But what I'm saying is that there's boundary pushing.
Okay.
For billionaires. Okay. You have to.
That's an important distinction.
You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. So three companies that caught our attention during reporting season that weren't in the usual FANG stocks and everything that we whipped through. So again, next week we'll try and bring a few of these.
Yeah, this is fun. Let's bring a few
of these to the fore.
Unknown companies.
Now, after the break, we're really excited as we're sitting down with Nick Griffin from Munro Partners to get his thoughts on the market and how he's positioning his portfolio after going to 40% cash. Another reason we're really excited is that Munro Partners are going to be at FinFest. They're going to be one of the speakers on the day. Along with many other experts from around the country, plenty of which have appeared on this show before, which we're really excited about. Time is ticking. We're getting closer and closer to the event. It is here in Sydney on Saturday, 15th of October, and tickets are only $47. So you're going to get access to plenty of experts. There's going to be the bars. There's going to be entertainment, plenty of opportunity to connect with the community as well. And we've just secured the location for our after party. So if FinFest wasn't enough, there is an after party kicking on late into the evening as well, where there'll be no discussion of stocks, party only.
No, you can discuss
stocks. You can discuss stocks.
Someone in our office is really trying to angle for a drunken buy, hold and sell. So.
True. Henry Jennings, drunken buy, hold and sell.
We haven't spoken to Henry about
We haven't put him in the hot seat. But anyway, tickets, as I said, only $47. Head to equitymates.com/FinFest to grab your ticket now. They are selling out. We would love to see you there. But anyway, after this, we're going to be sitting down with Nick Griffin. So we'll pick it up then.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So we are really excited to be joined by founding partner and chief investment officer at Munro Partners, Nick Griffin. Nick, welcome back to Equity Mates.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
So we're going to close out this episode with a bit of a conversation with you, Nick, around your thoughts on current market conditions and particularly portfolio positioning. Last week there was an article that came out in the AFR titled "Here's the Bad News: Equities Boss Warns of Ongoing Correction," and it was something that you'd penned. And of course, headlines are sensationalist, but there was some pretty interesting commentary from you in that article. So let's start at the top. How are you feeling and thinking about the markets here and now?
Yeah, so I mean, I think so all of your listeners are probably now across the fact that we're sort of in a bear market, right? So bear markets are an unfortunate fact of investing. They're a perfectly natural and normal thing, and they're generally good in the long run. And they're good in the long run because they clean out speculation, they take away excessive valuations, they stop capital going to places that it shouldn't be going, and they ultimately allow the market and also economic policy, interest rate policy, to reset on a more sustainable path. And so they set you up for a bull market, which is what we all love. And we had there for a long time. And so your average bear market, you know, can go for about 300 days and can fall anywhere between 20 and 40%. But don't forget, your average bull market lasts 64 months and you don't actually need to pick the bottom. So yeah, what I think, you know, right from the outset, you know, we are clearly in a bear market, and what everyone's trying to work out is how long it's going to go for and how deep it's going to be.
Before we ask you that question, One fact caught our eye, and that was the fact that you went to 40% cash in January. Bryce and I were lamenting off mic that we wish we had gone to 40% cash in January. What was the key thinking there, and the factors that you were looking at there then that push you to 40% cash, how are they looking now?
Yeah, and look, we'll get into this as this goes on. So look, how you what creates a bear market? Like, and it's always the same things. You know, there's usually a lot of speculation, and then, you know, the interest rate environment changes very quickly, which leads to the economic environment to change very quickly. And so from our point of view, I think the thing that really changed and caught us massively by surprise, by the way, is we sort of all went away for Christmas and COVID was a thing, and we all got back after Christmas and COVID was over. and I know it wasn't over, but Omicron came along and everyone got it, and you realized that COVID was dead, and, you know, the lockdowns were never going to happen again, and, you know, that we'd all rapidly get back to doing what we were before, and you know, it's June and or July, and I've got back from school holidays, and I think half of Australia went to Europe over the school holidays. So like, everything just went back to normal really, really quickly. And I know it doesn't feel normal, but it has been charging back to normal really quickly. We've been jumping on planes, we've been traveling, we've been eating, we've been drinking. And so what that meant is the Fed was miles behind the curve. Central banks were miles behind the curve. And so the RBA, you know, was happily telling you they won't get a hike rates till 2024. And now suddenly they're hiking rates every meeting at like 50, 75 basis points. Okay. So, and so is the Fed. And so that's like, that's bad, right? You can't pretend that's good. You know, if interest rates go from 0 to 3% really quickly, and you were told that they weren't going to go up at all for 3 years, people are going to get caught offside. And they did. They got caught offside in speculative assets because they bidded up the valuations too much, thinking rates were going to be lower for longer. And, you know, they're going to get caught offside in the real economy as well. And you see that with, you know, retailers that have ordered too much stuff and now they have to discount it. Amazon's built too many warehouses, yada, yada, yada. So in January, it became really clear that the Fed was miles behind the curve. The market started the year by just going straight down. And we have a lot of internal risk controls that were going off. So we'd like to call it like the airbags are going off all over the place. And we needed to do something about it. And so what we did is we observed a whole bunch of stop losses that we run to try and observe these things, and we raised a bunch of cash. So it wasn't a conscious decision. It was a decision that was bought out of processes that we run here and have run for about 15 years. And I think I've talked on your podcast before about running stop losses and, you know, and having a reaction function to deal with when things changed. You know, our reaction function forced us to 40% cash.
Yeah, I love that. It's something that we haven't discussed as much on the show recently as the value of a stop loss, or at least considering exit positions. But now we're at a point, I guess, where for those who have gone to cash, they've got some dry powder sitting on the sidelines. How are you thinking about getting back into the market, or is it a time of just reflection? I think in the article you mentioned three factors that you're watching to get ready to deploy?
Yes, correct. And so I think, you know, the article probably came across a little bit more bearish than we would have liked it to, at least the headline did. Of the three factors, you know, so okay, we raised 40% cash, okay, and people go, yeah, that's great. Well, the other 60% went down a lot. Like a lot more than we wanted, a lot more than we wanted it to. And so we should have raised more cash. We should have. But in the end, you know, we had this 40% and it is, in our opinion, too late to raise any more. And so now you're thinking about your entry point. And the three things we're looking for are pretty simple. One is you need long-term interest rates to peak. Okay. So this is really important. So remember, what caused the problem is interest rates backing up. Why? Because every asset in the world is valued off a risk-free rate, you know, to some sort of discounted value. If it moves from 1 to 3, then the value of everything falls a lot. That's sort of happened. But the point is now it appears we are peaking at 3%. And we always thought this would be the case. You know, the reality is interest rates, I'm sure a lot of you have parents or old people that you hang around who go, who will tell you some amazing story how when they used to borrow money to buy their house, you know, interest rates were 15% and, you know, how tough it was for them. Well, guess what? I don't think it can ever get back to 15%. Why? Because we've raised too much debt. And so in my investment career, every time something goes wrong, we lower interest rates, we raise too much debt. And so the actual peak level of interest rates that are going to cause the slowdown, cause inflation to go away, all the things that central banks want, we think is about 3%. We are now getting close to that. So the Fed last night got to 250. The long bond has sort of steadied at 3%. And so the risk-free rate that we can value things off has stabilized at 3. That's a massive tick. So that's positive. That's really positive. And so from that point of view, that's your first tick. Second thing is, unfortunately, rates going up is going to cause earnings to collapse. for a lot of companies, and we're already seeing this happening. So Walmart, big warning this week. You know, Sherwin Williams, a big paint company, warned last night. The semiconductor companies are starting to warn. You know, we saw Target before that. So you can expect lots of profit warnings now for, you know, the next two quarters at least, between now and the end of the year. Earnings estimates have to come down dramatically in the US and Australia. But the good news is the market knows this. It's already priced a good chunk of this in. And so that was the bad news bit of what I said. So there's good news and bad news. The good news is the market's peaked. So interest rates have peaked. Bad news is earnings have to come down a lot. And the third thing you're looking for is time. And so remember I said at the start, you know, generally, you know, people like me or other guys who've been around a bit and seen bear markets before, they don't normally only last 3 months like COVID did. They normally last, you know, 12, sometimes up to 18 months. This one's 7 months long, and sometimes it just pays to just be a little bit patient and not, you know, just wait and see what we would talk about, you know, the bodies come to the surface, or, you know, when the tide goes out, who's not wearing any bathers, as Warren Buffett would say. Yes. And so normally around these times, you know, something else bad happens. Now, it hasn't happened yet, and maybe it won't happen. And so if you put those three things together, but it does pay sense to be a little bit patient. So if you put those three things together, we reckon we've got about one and a half of the things we're looking for to get to three, which would be spend all the 40%. And so from our point of view, if you say had $100 on the sidelines right now, you know, you're pretty safe to go spend 25, 30 of it. Why? Because those first one and a half things are done.
Yeah, right. We can talk
about where you spend it, but of that $100, you spend 30 of it. And you probably keep 70 back just in case something else happens. Because remember, you don't actually have to pick the bottom.
Yeah.
The bull market's going to last a long time. You know, you don't have to be a hero here. But of that $100, yeah, we'd be spending 30.
Love that.
Now, one thing that caught our eye in the article was where you would be spending that 30, because, you know, the companies that I guess you were investing in 2020 and 2021, you've sold off some of them, but the companies that you'd be looking to deploy may not be those same companies. So, can you add a little bit of color to that and tell us some of the companies that are catching your eye at the moment?
Okay, so that's a great question. And so for the listeners, I would encourage them to think about, we're in an uncertain economic environment. It's not going to get less certain anytime soon. But, you know, valuations are at a point that you probably should be putting some capital to work. We've fallen 20-25% in the US. You know, if you're going to fall 37, well, you know, you're at least more than halfway there. And, you know, you mightn't fall that last bit. So when you're putting that capital to work, you should be investing in the biggest and safest and most stable companies you can think of. You have a rare opportunity here to build a high quality portfolio of companies that you know will be here in 10 years time and that you know are going to grow through this environment. And so right at the top of that list is Microsoft. I know it's boring, but guess what? It's 23 times earnings and it's going to grow and nothing's going to go wrong. And then you can work down to Google, you can work down to Amazon, you can buy Nvidia. You could buy AMD, you could buy ASML, you could buy Costco. You know, these are big companies, most of them 100 billion market cap or more, all of them with strong balance sheets, most of them more than 20% off their highs and perfectly good investments at this point in time, and they will sail you through what's coming next. It will be very tempting to go and buy the company that's fallen 80%, you know, the Shopify, the Spotify, the Atlassian, et cetera. And I'm not saying they're bad ideas. I'm just saying I wouldn't buy them first. And I don't think that they will be good buys until later on this year or maybe next year. And the reason why I say that, don't go back to the ones that have fallen 80%, is purely because A, we don't really know what's going to happen in the second half of the year. And B, you know, these companies are what we'd call young and somewhat undercapitalized. Okay. So they've lost their access to capital markets. A lot of them were using capital markets to compete with the big guys. They now can't get that money. They're going to have to compete with a whole bunch of other companies that need money. And this is just going to favor the big guys. So from that point of view, I get that they've fallen a long way and they look really exciting on the chart. I would restrain yourself on those ones just for another 3 to 6 months.
Love that. Plenty of those companies that you mentioned that had fallen 80% in my portfolio. So, but yeah, look, I think some great pieces of advice there, Nick. And I also would want to just throw in that bit of a disclaimer. Everything that we discuss here is general in nature with you, and you are a licensed professional. So I just want to sort of close. We saw some rhetoric come from the White House this week that suggested that the definition of a recession is not what everyone believes is two consecutive quarters of GDP growth. What are your thoughts on the sort of the macro picture? Are we heading recession? Do you even consider that in your investing approach at the moment? It's something that we debate here at Equity Mates. You know, a lot of the headlines around oil prices and all of this sort of macro stuff, does it really matter? What are your sort of closing thoughts on that?
So the markets are already pricing in a reasonably big slowdown or slash recession. The central banks would be happy to force the economy into a recession to get rid of inflation. Don't think that that won't happen. They will happily do that. From our point of view, we don't really care. There's mild recessions, there's really bad recessions. I sort of joke and say you're sort of guaranteed a mild recession next year because you can't possibly spend as much money as you've spent this year. And I think all of us have that problem. I I'm long. I've got like 3 years worth of holidays that I have to go on because they won't give me the money back. So you can't possibly spend any more money than you spent this year. So in theory, you will get some sort of recession next year. The key thing is that it's a mild one. And I think that's reasonably priced in already. What still goes wrong from here is what I was talking about before is, you know, generally recessions, slowdowns, if they hang around, we can't get rid of inflation, then you're going to get these big credit blow-ups, whether it's a company or a bank or a country has some sort of credit blow-up. If inflation hangs around, you'll get these sort of food riots in certain countries. So there are bad things out there that could definitely happen. And that's why, you know, we're not spending all our money, and that's why we're spending it on the guys that we know will be safest. But those are the sort of things. I don't think you're debating whether it's a recession or not anymore. You're just debating if it's going to be a really bad one.
Mm.
But you will get a slowdown, and you'll probably get two quarters of negative growth.
It's a technical recession, not according to the White House.
Correct.
But Nick, we have run out of time. But thank you so much for joining us. Some really clear, pieces of advice there for those that are thinking about how to position a portfolio, getting into some of those biggest, safest companies that you can think of, and potentially not deploying all the cash if it is sitting on the sidelines. So absolute pleasure chatting with you and catching up. And we're looking forward to having Munro at FinFest, be it yourself or another representative. I'm sure it's going to be awesome. And we do really appreciate your time today. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks,
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Equity Mates. We love hearing from you. So drop us a line at contact@equitymates.com, or even better, go to your podcast player and leave a 5-star review. Also, a reminder that the Equity Mates content train doesn't stop when you've run out of episodes to binge. We've got a brand new website, a Facebook discussion group. We're on Instagram, YouTube, and slowly making our way as an influencer on TikTok. Well, that's Ren. So come and say hello and join the community. We'd love to welcome you. Until next time.
Equity Mates Investing Podcast is a product of Equity Mates Media. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. Equity Mates gives listeners access to information and educational content provided by a range of financial service professionals. It is not intended as a substitute for professional finance, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of Equity Mates Investing Podcast are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Equity Mates Media does not operate under an Australian financial services license and relies on the exemption available under the Corporations Act 2001 in respect of any information or advice given. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from a podcast or video. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the Equity Mates website, where you can find ASIC resources and find a registered financial professional near you. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media and the hosts of Equity Mates Investing Podcast acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.